This is item I-4.
Yes, it's just a video. It's 15.4 minutes, 15 minutes, 4 seconds. And it's just kind of a summary of findings of the judicial inquiry and some of the highlights of comments made at the November 2nd General Committee.
It's all edited, I'm assuming.
I'm sorry?
It's all edited? I assume you did the editing.
Yes.
Thank you. Go ahead.
How do you ensure that youth...
If all records told the same tale, then the lie passed into history and became truth. Who controls the past ran the party slogan, controls the future. Who controls the present controls the past. The child born this morning deserves to watch and see the truth for himself, should he be so inclined 30 or 50 years from now. Assuming, of course, that the future cares about truth, let alone that government will allow access to it. Councillor Sharp.
Thank you. I endorse the report. I think it's the report staff addressed all the, the questions and queries. What's a little disappointing is the fact that we have a public document appendix to signed by two counselors, and with so many inaccuracies within that document, it reports facts that aren't facts.
The result is that much of this, including some issues that the commissioner himself stated, could have been avoided, could have been dealt with without going through a judicial inquiry.
I obviously have no view about whether the City Council should have called this inquiry. What I do say in the report is that if the issues identified by City Council were to be explored, there was no other practical way to explore them.
Some issues that the commissioner himself stated could have been avoided, could have been dealt with without going through a judicial inquiry.
Contrary to what you're being told here by some members of council, here's what the justice said in quotations. There was no other practical way to explore what transpired, period, full stop. That's what he actually said.
I obviously have no view about whether the City Council should have called this inquiry. What I do say in the report is that if the issues identified by City Council were to be explored, there was no other practical way to explore them. It is simply not practical under the existing MCIA procedure for an ordinary citizen to launch a court application claiming conflict of interest on the part of an elected official. The downside risk of tens of thousands of dollars in legal costs should the application be found to be unwarranted acts, in my view, as far too great a deterrent.
The commissioner noted that we were poised on the EnerSource issue. He's made his comments about the fact that it was a usual business transaction, something that could be expected.
I can tell you right now that I explained that situation of veto power to a counselor in the year 2007, February. I knew about it then. Why didn't other people know about it?
my finding is that the city manager of the day, David O'Brien, failed to discharge his duty to communicate a significant change in the city's transaction with Borealis to Mayor McCallion and members of council.
It reports facts that aren't facts.
The importance of the public meeting was to give as much information as possible to the citizens.
My question is, where is the former city manager, David O'Brien? Why wasn't he here? Why had Mrs. Soggins have to be dependent on he said, she said, and everyone else's memory? Did David O'Brien ever offer to come in here and clear things up? No. He didn't offer, nor was he invited.
The city manager of the day, David O'Brien, failed to discharge his duty to communicate a significant change in the city's transaction with Borealis to Mayor McCallion and members of council.
The council had already obtained a legal opinion for the cost of $50,000 that had similar findings.
The mayor's actions amounted to both a real and an apparent conflict of interest. On any view of the evidence, Peter McCallion stood to gain substantially on the successful completion of the hotel and condominium project. He had, on his own evidence, a potential upside of more than $10 million. And as an investor, he stood to gain much more than that.
The council had already obtained a legal opinion for the cost of $50,000 that had similar findings.
He came to the view, I gather, that unless there was a financially dependent relationship, that Peter McCallion could not be considered to be the son of the mayor?
That's correct.
The council had already obtained a legal opinion for the cost of $50,000 that had similar findings.
The mayor's son, Peter McCallion, was a participant in and an owner of WCD from the outset. The mayor promoted the interests of WCD throughout the events at issue in this inquiry. Indeed, I have found that the co-owners would not have entered negotiations with WCD absent her intervention.
Council had already obtained a legal opinion for the cost of $50,000 that had similar findings.
I have found that the mayor knew that a successful WCD project would have earned her son more money than he would otherwise have earned in the course of many years, probably in his lifetime. I have found that the mayor must have known her son had a financial role much greater than acting simply as the purchaser's agent. A member of council cannot promote the financial interests of family members and must avoid any appearance of impropriety. Citizens have a right to expect that a mayor will act impartially and without favor as her oath of office requires. It is no answer to say that a public office holder may promote the financial interests of a relative where to do so also promotes the greater good. To accept this proposition would, in my view, lead over time to the erosion of public trust in municipal government.
It reports facts that aren't facts.
This council had put in place many of what came forward as recommendations in the inquiry.
Another thing I looked into, I tried to find within our own, guidelines of committees and liberals, I couldn't find that facility.
This council had put in place many of what came forward as recommendations in the inquiry.
I couldn't find that facility.
He had changed the way we were recording minutes in camera.
There's no minutes kept of in-camera meetings, so if somebody wanted to look up the record in the future, there would be no record of what Mr. Hudson advised us.
About records, documents, emails, minutes of meetings. You'd expect to find the truth recorded there, would you not? Truth. George Orwell, 1984, Part 1, Chapter 3. And the perceptive will see the relevance here. Quote, and if all others accepted the lie which the party imposed, if all records told the same tale, then the lie passed into history and became truth. Who
Who controls the past, ran the party slogan, controls the future. Who controls the present, controls the past. Now let's try this. And if all others accepted the lie which the city imposed, if all records told the same tale, then the lie passed into history and became truth. Trust, quality, excellence ran the city slogan. And the assertion, we just don't have pockets of excellence in this organization. We have excellence through love, became truth.
The council had already obtained a legal opinion for the cost of $50,000 that had sent their findings.
I couldn't find an ethics committee. Is there, you know, I'll ask that question directly, is there an ethics committee? I mean, I went online and I went into our interview.
Welcome to Methisaga Star.
As I said at the outset, the terms of reference also permitted me to make recommendations for the good governance of Mississauga. I have chosen to do so. I believe this is the real value of this inquiry. Indeed, I hope the real value of this report will be those recommendations rather than the findings I have made. In recent years, a great deal of public attention has been devoted to questions surrounding municipal infrastructure in Ontario. Cities age, and increasing sums of money are required to improve and replace existing infrastructure. I believe that the same might be said of Mississauga's ethical infrastructure. For many years, Mississauga has had very little in the way of formal rules or officials to enforce them.
On item 7, then, Councillor Prentice, and Councillor Alex, if you want to pressure that, we'll go back on. Thank you very much, and I'll make my comment first, and I did speak with our city manager about this when we had our one-on-one, but I have a lot of difficulty with how the committee is made up that does the assessment. We have, according to the report, there are two individuals, one the executive director of the art gallery and the other one the general manager of a dance creation company, sitting on the committee. I am very uncomfortable with that. And I know it's made up, the city manager explained to me that there are many other municipalities that have the committee made up based on this format. But when you have groups that are applying and two individuals in this case of the groups who applied actually sat on the assessment committee. I think that is inappropriate. It's almost like we're talking about a conflict of interest.
Councillor Prentice, if I could interrupt you for a minute, Mayor McKinley would like to respond to that particular issue. So yeah, we could let her jump in before we go.
I think that Councillor Prentice has raised an excellent question. When I set up the Arts Task Force, I made a point of not having anybody on the task force that was involved directly in any organization in the arts in Mississauga to get a truly independent opinion. I think Councillor Pennis has raised an excellent question. I think there are people out there that should not be involved in any group that is applying for a grant. And I don't know what you can do about it, but I feel just as strongly about it as Councillor Pennis does. I have to tell you. I think it's even if, I mean, once the person sits on the group, they get to know all the people that are on the group, and even if they declare a conflict of interest, it doesn't bode well.
But I just want to state for the record, here's what I'm really happy about. There's the term ethical infrastructure, and that's a term I've been using since 2006. So that, to me, is the commission saying, we listen to you.
As I said at the outset, the terms of reference also permitted me to make recommendations for the good governance of Mississauga. I have chosen to do so. I believe this is the real value of this inquiry. Indeed, I hope the real value of this report will be those recommendations rather than the findings I have made. In recent years, a great deal of public attention has been devoted to questions surrounding municipal infrastructure in Ontario. Cities age, and increasing sums of money are required to improve and replace existing infrastructure. I believe the same might be said of Mississauga's ethical infrastructure. For many years, Mississauga has had very little in the way of formal rules or officials to enforce them. The Municipal Conflict of Interest Act, the MCIA, contained rules governing conflict of interest, but these were and are inadequate.
Thank you. And also, like, I know public question period is next. I have one question.
So you're done with this presentation?
Yes.
Councillor Crombie would like to speak to you at this point.
Thank you. I don't know who you're here, who you are today. Are you Ursula? Are you the Muse, the FTT for the truth? I want to thank you for your self-congratulating video and self-aggrandizing video, frankly. I would like to know what qualities you possess to make you a role model on ethical behavior and ethical infrastructure.
Let me think. I guess I should say thank you for still not getting the message.
Please answer my question.
Again?
Please answer my question.
Well, I've had considerable experience with asking questions around here and getting only responses.
Time for a response.
What was the question again?
What qualities do you possess to make you an authority on ethical behavior and ethical infrastructure?
Okay, the question I have is what in the video makes you conclude that I consider myself an authority? Mm-hmm. I'm asking for people to help create an ethical infrastructure and help at higher levels, like Commissioner Cunningham and so on.
So
we need help here. I'm not an expert on ethical infrastructure.
Let me ask you a question on ethics.
Mm-hmm.
Is it ethical to create a video on a 14-year-old child? Is it ethical to cyberstalk a minor?
No, absolutely not. And I have not created a video on a 14-year-old.
Yes, in fact, you have.
Really?
Is it ethical to go after politicians' children in videos and cyberstalk minor children? I'm asking you this.
Well, first of all, let's have a definition of cyberstalk.
Yes.
Yes. I'd like your definition of cyberstalk, please.
I would like to suggest that you are not the model of ethical behavior that you portray yourself to be.
I'm not portraying anything. I'm following.
And as a citizen.
I'm sorry?
And as a citizen of this great city, I do not appreciate my children, one of which is a minor, being featured in your videos. I think this is a vast affront to policies that include invasion of privacy, of personal privacy, and in addition, privacy and protection of a minor. My child is 14 years old.
Could you tell me which video? Because I'm not even aware.
Perhaps you should go back and review your videos. You have breached every code of conduct that I can imagine by going after my family on a personal level and featuring minor children in your videos. And I suggest to you that is not ethical behavior of any citizen.
I dispute what you say. I dispute what you say.
Well, obviously there's evidence.
I'm sorry?
Obviously there is evidence on the internet vastly viewed by many people.
I wish that my videos were vastly viewed.
Thankfully they're not. Thank you. I have no more questions.
Thank you. Any other questions? I see no more questions. Receipt has been moved. All those in favor? Thank you. That is carried. And now we'll go to public question period. In accordance with Section 36 of the City of Mississauga Procedure Bylaw, as amended, Council may grant permission to a person who is present at Council and wishes to address Council on a matter on the agenda. Persons addressing Council with a question should limit preamble to a maximum of two statements sufficient to establish a context for the question.
Is that me?
Would anyone like to speak on any matter that we're dealing with?
Thanks, Councillor Mahoney. Just as I was working the video, the January 22nd, 2000, and gosh, I think it's 9, council meeting, the one at Enersource, the public meeting. As I was working the video, I noticed that in those days, he was just Ron Starr, he wasn't a counselor, made a comment that in 2000, he spoke to a counselor. And you can see him there saying, spoke to a counselor about the veto. And the minutes record that he spoke to council. And I'm just wondering whether that can be changed. Because there's a big difference between I spoke to a counselor and I spoke to council.
Okay, we'll have that reviewed. We'll give that direction to staff and clerks will review that record. If you can give me the date specifically.
Yes, it was January 22nd, 2009. And I think it was item 12. I think, Mr. Starr in those days was, yeah. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We'll have that clarified.